court was saying, hey, you know, Monsanto, your soybeans and your other crops, we're gonna let you grow them, we think. What's going on? What's going on news-wise with the GM foods?
Well, it's a big, high-pitched battle all over the world, and the stakes are very high, and we really are reaching a culmination, a very important period. We've got the Supreme Court battle over the approval of genetically modified alfalfa. We have the Department of Justice combining with the Department of Agriculture, looking at Monsanto and seeing if it's a monopoly and what to do about that. We've got the State Department spokesperson saying in early May that they're going to actually actively confront critics of biotechnology and try and stop the naysayers like me. We've got big publications like the New York Times and The Hill down in D.C. publishing completely pro-biotech mythology as part of their op-ed pieces. The U.S. Negotiators to Codex in early May tried to create a precedent which would have made it very difficult, or possibly made it difficult, to have labeling, either voluntary or mandatory. And the Ohio governor is trying to push through regs that will make it difficult for companies to even say that their milk is without the genetically engineered bovine growth hormone. At the same time, on the other side, India stopped genetically modified eggplant, Turkey banned GM imports, some more and more doctors' organizations are getting on board saying that GMOs are unsafe. Natural food industry is rallying around a new third-party verified standard for non-GMO claims called the Non-GMO Project. Non-GMO claims is the fastest growing claim in 2009. Supermarket News predicts an uprising of consumer concern and awareness. So there's also, it's like absolutely coming to a head. Since GMOs were introduced in 1996, we have never seen a time like this before where there's so much at stake and so much, it could go either way. And we're actually counting on the tipping point through our campaign for healthier eating in America to drive GMOs out of the market by consumer rejection.
I want your definition, Jeffrey, of genetically modified foods. Let's put it in perspective. What are they?
Well, for thousands of years, we've been crossbreeding, selecting plants with different qualities and combining them through natural sexual reproduction. With genetic engineering, you take a gene from one species, typically bacteria or viruses. You make millions of copies of that gene. You add an on switch from a virus, and you shoot it out of a gun into a plate of cells, plant cells. Then you clone those cells into a plant, and that's genetically engineering a crop to produce a trait that it normally doesn't carry. So there's two varieties, primarily, of genetically engineered crops. There's poison drinkers and poison producers. The poison drinkers are herbicide-tolerant crops. They're able to receive sprays of a normally deadly herbicide, typically Roundup from Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
So these Roundup-ready crops are sold in combination with Roundup herbicide. Most of the crops are designed to drink this poison. Now, the other is poison producers, where they get a gene from the soil bacterium called Bacillus thuringiensis, or BT, which is a natural insect killer. It rips open their stomach and kills them. So now, every cell of certain cotton and corn plants have a little spray bottle producing a toxin, which kills plants, and we eat also when we eat the corn varieties.
Well, if it kills plants and insects, what does it do to people?
Well, this is what the subject of my book, Genetic Roulette, the documented health risks of genetically engineered foods. It turns out it does a really dangerous stuff. I'll quote the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, who last year said that the animal feeding studies on GMOs, and there's not a lot, they showed that there's a causal relationship, not a casual relationship, but a causal relationship, according to the medical doctors, between the animal feed and disorders. They said things like infertility, immune system problems, accelerated aging, dysfunctional regulation of insulin and cholesterol, organ damage, gastrointestinal disorders, and other things. And we see, last time I was on the air here, 2 weeks ago, we had the most recent report of hamsters who were fed genetically modified soybeans. By the third generation, over a two-year study, most of the hamsters that were eating the genetically modified soy were unable to have babies. They also died at four or five times the rate for infant mortality of the control groups. They were slower in growing, slower to reach sexual maturity, and some had the bizarre feature of even having hair growing in their mouths.
Jeez, now, give me a list of the foods that are out there now that are genetically modified that we are eating.
Well, it's soy and corn are the two major ones because their derivatives are practically omnipresent. You have dextrose, maltodextrin, high fructose corn syrup, soy lecithin, soy protein isolate. So soy and corn are two. Then you have canola and cottonseed, both used for vegetable oil, and also sugar beets, which are used, of course, for the U.S. sugar supply. It's a combination of cane sugar and sugar beet sugar. Those are the five major crops.
And those five would take up what percent of the GM-type foods?
99.9%.
Okay, huge number then.
Yeah, the
huge
only others are papaya exclusively from Hawaii and a little bit of zucchini and yellow squash. But primarily, the millions and millions of acres dedicated to GMOs are these other five crops. And unfortunately, if you go and you buy Hershey's chocolate and Heinz ketchup and all these things, you're going to end up looking at the ingredients and the things that we buy all the time, Hellman's mayonnaise, you buy, you know, veggie burgers even, some of them, they have a lot of these ingredients. And so it takes a little study to figure out which brands don't have GMOs. And so we created nongmoshoppingguide.com, which lists hundreds of brands in 22 food categories to tell people which brands don't have these derivatives and also gives people a list of those derivatives and also other tips to help avoid GMOs.
Are you as concerned, Jeffrey, the fact that cotton is genetically modified?
Well, yes, for a couple of reasons. It is used for cottonseed oil, so it is a food crop, even though people don't associate
okay,
it with it.
Okay, that's one of the five.
But the other thing is this, that in India, and I visited India extensively last year, and wherever I went in a cotton-growing region, I followed up reports of reactions by farm workers to touching the cotton. And yes, it's true. When they touch this cotton, such a high percentage of the farm workers get itching in their bodies, or they get upper respiratory problems, or they get eye swelling and things like that. Some have to go to the hospital. Now, when I was preparing this book, Genetic Roulette, I was writing down all the different adverse findings that I could find, and after I put them all down in the book, I did a section called Connecting the Dots, and I looked specifically at these symptoms that were being described by the doctors who were treating the Indian patients, and I looked at another section of the symptoms being described in a peer-reviewed published study of about 500 people in Washington State or Vancouver who got sprayed with BT pesticide.
Oh, jeez.
And it was the same symptoms. You see, the BT pesticide is a natural insecticide from soil bacteria. The BT cotton is a genetically engineered cotton where the bacterial gene is inserted into the cotton and produces that toxin in thousands of times more concentration than the spray levels. And it was exactly the same symptoms.